Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem, and a good Monday, Thursday to you. We've spent some time this Holy Week focusing on some important themes around Easter. And we're familiar with the story, many of us, perhaps so familiar we forget some of the truly remarkable aspects of this. And today, we wanted to center in on the topic of forgiveness, because it seems that we don't have to go very far into the Easter story before the subject of forgiveness becomes a key part. And so we want to just explore that a little bit more, also, you know, to just help us on a practical level, because this is such an important part of our life experience, certainly as Christians, and something that we struggle with. I think most of us would admit to that. So I've asked glad to have Nancy Liedemoss back with us today. Nancy, of course, you hear every day on Revive Our Hearts. It's heard here on Faith Radio, 1:30 each afternoon. And she has written at least 10 books, I think more now, but Lies Women Believe is one of the great ones. Her latest, we talked with her not long ago, about Choosing Gratitude. And the one that we're going to focus on today is called Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. And, you know, Scripture tells us that offenses are going to happen. So people let us down. So what do we do when those things come up? And that's what we're going to talk about today, and we welcome you to join the conversation. In fact, we've got five or six copies of this book to give away. This would be a wonderful resource, and it may come at a very important time in your life or somebody that you know, and we'd love to be able to just give you one. If you want to join the broadcast and contribute to the show, we'd love to just have you connect with us, and I'll give out the phone number of email. If you want to start queuing up right away, you're welcome to do that. It's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Nancy Liedemoss with us today on Connecting Faith. Nancy, welcome. Thanks so much for making some time for us.
Well, privilege, Neil. Thank you so much. And you're right, this subject is so timely at any time, but particularly during this Holy Week as we focus on the cross of Christ and all that it means. And it's timely in my life as well to be talking about this subject, because I'm in the process of dealing, as many other listeners are as well, with a broken relationship and a some issues, some wrong, some hurts, some injustices, at least from my perspective, they seem to be. And boy, just thinking about doing this interview and then asking God to search my own heart and say, Lord, is there unforgiveness in my own heart? Am I holding on to an offense? Am I refusing to let it go? And so the Lord has a way of using these opportunities as a way to sanctify my own heart and press me closer to in some of these tough issues.
Well, as you mentioned the word process, and we want to expand on that a little bit more because there is a process to it. But maybe we should start with a definition, maybe what forgiveness is and what maybe defining what unforgiveness is.
Yeah, and I think, again, you mentioned the starting place is realizing that offenses will come. Jesus said that, and we don't need Jesus to tell us that. We know that we get offended, we get hurt, we get wronged. And forgiveness is that choice. It is a choice, not primarily an emotion or a feeling, but it's a choice whereby I relinquish the right to get even, to pay back, to punish the wrongdoer. And I'm saying, it's, you know, I'm going to turn you over to God's court. I'm not going to be the judge. I'm not going to be the one who metes out the punishment. I am relinquishing my right to pay you back, to punish you. I'm clearing your record. Now, that person still has to deal with God, and God may deal with that person, but I'm saying I'm not going to hold you hostage. I'm not going to be a debt collector. And the opposite of that, the refusal to forgive, is saying I am going to be a debt collector. I am going to, in some way, make you pay. And we have countless ways of doing that to people. And sometimes it's just in our own heart. And what happens then is that root of bitterness, and we don't like to call it that, we don't like to think of it that way, but that undealt with hurt so easily becomes a seed of bitterness We may think it's justified. You know, we're pointing out everything they did wrong and defending or justifying ourselves. But nonetheless, that bitterness, that debt-collecting mindset takes root in our hearts and ultimately springs up and creates all kinds of havoc in our own, you know, emotions, physically in our bodies. Doctors tell us today that a lot of physical pain would not be there if people weren't holding bitterness in their hearts. It's just real interesting, the connection between our emotions, our spirit, and our bodies. And so many people today, myself included at times, live with this kind of gnawing, corrosive, acidic resentment or anger or bitterness stored up in our hearts. And we think we're hurting the other person, and we may be. But ultimately, as someone has said, bitterness is like an acid that it eats away at the container in which it's held. And so many women I talk with today, their lives are just being, their relationships are being eaten away with bitterness. And thankfully, God provides us a journey out of that, an alternate way, a better way, the way of Christ and the way of His cross, which is the journey of forgiveness and the journey to freedom.
I think it was in your book. I'm trying to remember it, but a quote from somebody who just said, you know, it was a matter of, you know, me drinking the poison and thinking somebody else was going to get ill from
right.
it.
I mean, that's right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what we're dealing with, aren't we? We talked about sort of giving up our right to hold on to. The fact is that we don't want to hold on to with this bitterness, do we? Because it does eat us up. I mean, the others aren't necessarily chained. Isn't that one of the problems,
right, exactly.
that we frustrations, because others may not even realize that they have offended us, and so they're going on their way without any sort of, you know, bother at all.
Right. And even if they do realize they've offended us, they maybe their relationship with God is such that they're not really bothered about it, or maybe they are. It doesn't really matter. But the fact is, we put ourselves in prison when we refuse to forgive. And that's why I've seen over the years, as I've spoken on this subject in almost every Revive Our Hearts conference we've done over many years, I always speak on this subject. And I ask the women, how many of you, as you know, as I get in the message and I explain what forgiveness is, and then I ask, you know, don't bow your heads or close your eyes, just tell me how many of you would be honest enough to say that there are one or more people in your life who've hurt you deeply, and you are still holding on to unforgiveness in your heart. You've not fully forgiven them. Would you just slip your hand up in the air? And Neil, is just amazing. Probably an average of 90% or more of the hands in the room will go up. And here we are and sometimes my own hand has to go up. But here we are claiming to have this gospel, this good news, that we have forgiveness through what Jesus did for us on the cross, that we have been forgiven for our, you know, of our sins, our infinite debt against a holy God, and yet we're still holding hostage those who have sinned against us. And as I look around the room and I see those, you know, many, many hands in the air saying, there's unforgiveness in my heart, I think, first of all, is it any wonder that the world doesn't, you know, believe our good news gospel, because we're not living out this message of forgiveness? But then I also think of how many women in that room are in bondage to their own bitterness. And that motivates me to give the rest of the message, because then I realize over those next moments, God is going to do a great, precious work of setting captives free as women choose, make the choice to say, I forgive those who've sinned against me, as God, through Christ, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me of all my sins. And it's a precious thing to just see that process at work. It doesn't mean the hurts go away, or that you just get this magic eraser that just removes all those past hurts and you can't remember anymore. That's nonsense. But it does mean that we're freed up to become instruments of God's grace and mercy in the many times in the lives of those who've actually sinned against us.
A book we're referencing is called Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. We've got some copies available, and we'll start taking calls shortly here as we talk through the issues of forgiveness and the freedom that comes in that journey. And we'd love to have you join us at 877-933-2484. Nancy, I just want to follow up, because you talked about it comes with our understanding that we are to forgive just as God through Christ has forgiven us. Have we become too casual so that we really miss the significance of the great cost of our forgiveness? Do we not really fully understand that as a central theme of our faith?
Right. Not only the cost of our forgiveness, but how much we needed to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about that woman in Luke chapter 7 who came weeping at Jesus' feet to this, you know, banquet of the hoity-toity of the town, and she slips in there. She's a woman of the street, a sinner woman, and she's the one expressing this lavish love to Jesus. And the Pharisees, the religious guys, they're put out by this. They're offended by this lavish display of, you know, emotion and love toward Jesus. And Jesus says to them, the one who's been forgiven the most loves the most. And the one who's been forgiven little, it's not because he doesn't have a lot to be forgiven of. It's that he doesn't realize how much he needed to be forgiven. Speaking, of course, of the Pharisees, the religious guys. And I think we trivialize the cross. We make it something common when we forget how very much we have sinned against a holy God and how we are deserving of all of his eternal wrath and judgment against our sin. That all we deserve is hell forever and ever and ever. And that God is in his incredible mercy and grace sent his only beloved son to this earth to become a man, to live our life, to die the death that we deserved. When he went to that cross, that's what we're commemorating this week. It was for my sin. It was for your sin. It was for our sin. There was no other way for that sin to be atoned for apart from our death. So if we lose the sense of the sacredness of that, the wonder of what God has done for us in Christ, then we're more prone to become debt collectors, to hold other sins against them, just forgetting how much God has forgiven us. And as you said, the enormity of the cost, the dearest thing he loved. And Jesus, who was the sinless, blameless Lamb of God, perfectly obedient every moment of his eternal life with the Father. And yet God pours out on him the wrath, the judgment that we deserve for our sins. It's astonishing. And I confess I lose the wonder of it. And that's when I become a cantankerous, ornery, you know, resentful, bitter person, when I forget how much I've been forgiven.
Well, hopefully today's discussion will help us to remove some of those seeds of bitterness that might be settled in there, or the easy offense that we take, and just remember again the wonder of God's forgiveness to us. We're going to take calls here in just a moment and come back and talk some more with Nancy Lee DeMoss. Our focus today is on forgiveness, choosing forgiveness, your journey to freedom. That's the title of Nancy's book. We've got some copies to give away. Nancy Lee DeMoss, you hear her daily on Revive Our Hearts, and she is our guest today. And we'll get to David's question in just a moment, and yours as well at 877-933-2484. It's 18 past the hour. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're connecting with Nancy Lee DeMoss today. You hear her. She's host and teacher in Revive Our Hearts and Seeking Him, and she's a leader of the True Woman Movement and has written a number of books, including the one we're referencing today called Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. And we're inviting your calls at 877-933-2484. I want to make this practical and helpful. We do have some copies of the book that we'll give away, those that want to join the program. And David is listening in here on Faith 900. David, go ahead with a little bit about your situation, and you're on with Nancy DeMoss.
Well, hi, Neil, and hi, Nancy. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a man who has definitely been touched by your ministry, Nancy. I listen to you on the radio every day, and I've been going through a situation with a separation, pending divorce, and the reason being I found out my wife was having an affair. And I held the bitterness for quite a while, but just recently I really felt God give me the grace to forgive and let that go. And my question, though, is that the problem I'm having is my children were affected by this, and particularly my son, my 16-year-old son. is very angry and very bitter at his mom. And as much as I've tried and prayed about it, I can't seem to get through to him how important it is for him to forgive her and move on with the relationship with her. And I was wondering if you have any thoughts on that, on how to deal with children that are affected in bitterness and unforgiveness.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, thanks for your question, David. And, you know, what you just expressed, there are a whole lot of listeners who have some similar story or set of circumstances. And you can't forgive for your children. But I'm so thankful that you have let God press you into the place of forgiveness, because the way parents respond to a marital issue like that is so huge long term in their children. And your children, at, you know, maybe 16 may not get it. But they, you can know that they are watching and sensing and picking up on your response to these wrongs and these hurts, and that the way you handle this is going to impact them long term. It's going to affect them. And as you get God's grace to choose the pathway of forgiveness, there's a much greater chance that in time your children are going to make that choice as well. I've seen that happen in so many marriage situations. Let me just say, though, that I think it's important to say that where there has been, you know, breaking of the marriage vow or this kind of, you know, great and grievous sin, the choice to forgive doesn't in any way minimize or undo the damage that's been done, the wrong that's been done, and it doesn't let the other person off the hook. I think that's something we're a little afraid of sometimes, that is, if I really forgive, I'm saying like it's no big deal. Or, you know, maybe it's a wife whose husband's been addicted to pornography, and she's saying, me forgive him? He's not repentant. We're not saying by our forgiveness that they are off God's hook. They still have to deal with him, and that doesn't mean they can experience God's forgiveness until they take the pathway of repentance. But in forgiving, and I think you've just illustrated this beautifully, David, you're saying, I'm not going to be the one to hold this against this person. I'm going to release them to the Lord and to his court. And as you do that, and that gets lived out not just once, but in, you know, countless daily ways in conversation. And I've been with parents, and I know that some will choose the pathway of continuing to honor anything they possibly can about their mate, to speak well of them to the extent they possibly can, not to speak evil of them to their children. The others will go the way of, you know, tearing their mate apart and planting seeds of doubt or disgust or anger in the hearts of their children. And that is only, you know, that hurts the bitter parent. It hurts the children. The children are already hurt, as you've said, by the other parent's offense. Maybe the most operative word you said there, as you phrased your question, David, is it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that enables you to forgive and to keep forgiving. It's the grace of God that enables you to communicate a path of love and value of, you know, their mother to your children. And it's the grace of God ultimately that will draw their hearts to see their need of God's forgiveness and to realize that not only does their mom need the gospel, but they need the gospel, and to, for them ultimately to choose the pathway of forgiveness. So you keep praying, you keep forgiving, you keep demonstrating Calvary love, hard as it may be, it's God's grace that enables that. And then you trust that in God's time and in God's way, not only can God change their hearts, but God can change your wife's heart. And impossible as that may seem at this point, I have seen God do that. There's no guarantee that he will, but he surely can. And I would just encourage you to keep believing God to do the impossible in that situation and clinging to him as you do.
Seems just as you were, as David was sharing, you were talking that this is so counterintuitive, isn't it, from our sort of present cultural standards. To say, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get my rights, demand my rights.
It's counterintuitive to the culture, but it's also counterintuitive to our own flesh, our own sense of justice, you know, our pride, our everything is counterintuitive. God's ways are counterintuitive, and Calvary is counterintuitive. That God would give his son, the righteous, the just, suffering for the unjust. That's the whole message of, or the essence of the book of 1 Peter, is Christ has suffered, the guiltless one, for the guilty, so that he might redeem and bring us to God. It's the willingness to bear the wrongs and hurts of others as our own in order that ultimately they might experience spiritual healing. And there is no greater example of Calvary love than when a mate does that, when anybody does it when they've been wrong, but particularly within the marriage, the sacredness of that marriage vow. When a mate says, I'm willing to suffer, even though I wasn't the one who made those choices, but my hope and my prayer is that you ultimately can be right with God, that you can be blessed, that you can be redeemed to Him, and that you can be healed. And we were going astray, all like sheep, but God laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and by His wounds we are healed. And that is not only that's the gospel in our relationship with Christ, but it's also the power of the gospel as it works out in our relationships with others.
My guest is Nancy DeMoss. Nancy Lee DeMoss has heard the daily on Revive Our Hearts. I hope you are a regular listener and you want to chat with her. She'd welcome that opportunity, and we'd love to have you join the conversation. If you want to join us talking a little bit about forgiveness today, about choosing forgiveness, the path to freedom, the journey to freedom, and maybe you're you want to be on that journey, but you aren't there yet, then we could just offer some encouragement and some counsel, and we'd be glad to have you join the broadcast at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH is the number. Nancy, is forgiveness more than just saying the words? And so how do we practice it rather than just maybe, I mean, the words are important, though, aren't they?
Sure, but it does start with a work of God's grace in our hearts that brings us to the place where we're willing to make that choice. And again, where we start by seeing how much we've been forgiven. That parable Jesus told in Matthew 18 about the servant who was forgiven an infinite debt he never could have paid. And then he goes out and grabs the guy who owes him a relatively small amount and refuses to forgive him. It starts by realizing in our hearts how much we've been forgiven and being so grateful for that, that out of that grace we've received, we then become a channel, an instrument of giving grace to others. Undeserved grace is, forgiveness is always undeserved. It's not a question of do they deserve it. They don't. We don't. But it's a question of am I willing to extend to others the same grace that He has shown me? And then the words flow out of the heart, and we're able to express God's grace, His love, His kindness, His forgiveness, even to those who have wronged us greatly.
You said forgiveness is always undeserved. That I guess that just sort of caught my attention, and we probably know that. It seems like it's one thing if someone asks for forgiveness, but it's if that apology never comes, that's kind of a different twist as well, isn't it?
Well, even if we had asked God for forgiveness, we say we deserved it. We were asking for mercy, and mercy's undeserved. Grace is undeserved. And even if we recognize our great fault, I think of David praying in Psalm 51, oh God, have mercy on me, forgive me. Well, David didn't deserve forgiveness for his adultery with Bathsheba and all the other sins connected with that sin. But he cast himself on God's mercy, and God provided a sacrifice, a substitute, a means of God's holiness being satisfied, but Him also being able to extend mercy. But it only comes through an innocent sacrifice being made. And what we're celebrating this week is the sacrifice of Christ, the Passover Lamb of God slain for our sins. That's undeserved. And so when we forgive others, whether they ask for it or not, whether they're repentant or not, whether they realize how much they've sinned or not, we are extending something to them that we didn't deserve, that they don't deserve. It's grace. It's grace.
Nancy Lee DeMoss is my guest. We're talking about choosing forgiveness. The subtitle of her book is called Your Journey to Freedom, and we want to talk more about that journey. Love to have you join the conversation as well. It's 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484, or if it's more convenient, you can connect with us online. It's faithradionet.com. That's our website, faithradionet.com. And you can go on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. I'll come right to the studio, and we'd love to have you join the conversation. We do have some copies of Nancy's book to give away. There's about 6 copies, and it would be a great resource for you and maybe some very practical, tangible steps that you could take as we talk a little more about what that journey looks like. In just a couple of minutes, I want to talk with Nancy about, what happens if we don't feel like we're forgiven. We may have gone through the process. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But what happens if we don't feel like it, or if circumstances don't seem to change? How do we handle that? We'll get to all that and more, and to take your calls at 877-933-2484. You're listening to Connecting Faith. My guest is Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know what I've been, but here in your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and today we're focusing on forgiveness. It's one of the central themes as we work through this week and approach Easter to realize that God, in His great mercy, has forgiven us, and it came at great cost. And we're talking about Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. It's a book from Nancy Lee DeMoss. Nancy, you hear daily on Revive Our Hearts. She's host and teacher, as well as on the broadcast Seeking Him. And she's sharing in conferences, True Woman Movement, and has encouraged us over the years as we've had opportunity to talk. And today we're talking about forgiveness, and invite you to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. If you have a question, we do have some copies of the book. We'd love to be able to pass on to you. And Nancy, we talked a little bit about some of the why of forgiveness, but maybe some thoughts about the how. How do we actually... what does that journey look like? Is there a first step?
Right. And I think first is just acknowledge that we've been sinned against. And, you know, maybe that seems obvious. But a lot of modern counseling has had variations on, you know, encouraging people to stuff or walk past the offense. And so one of the things I challenge women to do when I speak on this is make a list of the people who've sinned against you and the ways they've hurt you, the ways they've wronged you, and that kind of, you know, you might wonder at first, why would you do that? We're trying to get rid of this thing, and you're telling us to write it down. But I think it's important that we face honestly. We're not telling people to bury this or pretend like it never happened. That's not forgiveness. We're telling people you need to face it. You need to face the pain, face the wrong, acknowledge that you were wronged and hurt, that this, you know, an injustice has been done. And then as you look at that list, one of the things I encourage people to do is make another list next to that one and say, okay, how have I responded to each of these people, those who've wronged me? Have I... you know, resented them? Have I withheld love from them? Have I spoken evil of them? Have I avoided them? You know, what's been my response? Or have I loved them, you know, selflessly? Have I forgiven them? Have I prayed for them and blessed them? You know, love your enemies, do good to them. You know, what's been my response? And if my response has not been Christ-like or in accordance with God's word, then I need to start by asking God's forgiveness for my wrong, for the way I have sinned in my response. And that's kind of tough for us when we kind of the scale, you know, and we say, well, they started it. They were 95% wrong. It's my, I just had this, you know, 5% guilt in the way I responded. And you're telling me I need to ask forgiveness. And I'm saying, first, our conscience has to be clear with God. We have to make sure that we have confessed and repented of any way that we may have sinned in the process. That's not to say, you know, we're responsible for other people's sins. We're not, but we are responsible for our own. And then once we've cleared, you know, our own record by getting God's grace and forgiveness for our response, and if necessary, going to the person, if they know, you know, how we've responded against them, and to go and ask their forgiveness, which can be incredibly difficult because we want to cast blame at that point. But just to say, you know, I have not loved you in a Christ-like way or responded to you in a way that I ought to have, and God has convicted me of that. would you please forgive me? I saw a wife, I heard a story about a wife doing this. Her husband had been an alcoholic for many years and had really greatly wronged the family in so many ways of irresponsibility and hurt and shame. And she was out of there. She was, she had her bags packed, excuse me, and was leaving him. And long story short, she turned on Christian radio, heard me speaking on forgiveness. God stopped her short within a couple of days. She had given her life to Christ. And then God began to deal with her about the issues of bitterness in her heart. And she went to her husband, who had wronged her so greatly. She said, I want you to know, first of all, that I forgive you. And second, that I'm asking your forgiveness for the ways I have responded and reacted to you over all these years. And very dramatic turnaround there, not the way it typically happens. But in that case, God brought her husband home. God had been trying to get his attention through a series of things, including a heart attack. But he came home, and his life was dramatically transformed. She said he stopped drinking. He started praying with me. He became the husband I'd always wished I could have had, never did have. 4 months later, the man drops dead of a second heart attack. And she says, just through tears, how thankful I am that God gave us those 4 precious months together that we never would have had if I had not been willing to take that step and forgive that man. So she went to him. She extended forgiveness from her heart and with her tongue. Now, you know, that's a really unusual story. But we have an unusual God, and he does unusual things when we are willing to take that step of releasing others. You know, I know just enough about computers to be dangerous, but one button I know really well, and that's the little button that says DEL, means delete. And when you press that button, whatever you've been working on, if you haven't saved it, it's gone. And I think of forgiveness as pressing the delete key. Saying, I'm clearing that person's record. I'm not going to hold it against him anymore. I'm going to let God deal with them. I'm turning them over to his courtroom. I'm not going to be the one to take vengeance or to have the right to punish them. I'm relinquishing that right. And when we do, God releases us, and we put the person who offended us into a place where God can deal with them more directly. And God is so much more effective at dealing with others and their issues than we could anyway. So all of that, it's a journey, it's a process, and yet it's practical steps that we can take to say, I release them. I may not feel forgiving or forgiven, but by faith, as an act of my will, as an act of obedience, I choose to release those who have sinned against me.
Good, practical, and challenging words from Nancy DeMoss. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. Nancy, I want to ask you, what if we've forgiven and nothing changes? You know, when circumstances maybe still cause us pain and suffering, what do you say to the person that's maybe in the middle of that?
Yeah, and I recognize that's so true, Neil. I have talked with many women over the years who are living in a situation within the four walls of their own home. Or in their immediate family. I have parents whose children are, I know parents who are making, whose children are making, you know, deviant sexual choices. And the parents are seeking to walk in grace, in forgiveness, in Calvary love, reaching out, not enabling sin, but letting them know that there's grace to be had, and yet the children have not changed or the mate has not changed. And sometimes, you know, there are marriages where a mate is living with this husband's use of pornography or an angry, shrewish wife or whatever, day after day after day. So it's not a one-time choice to forgive. It's day after day. And I mentioned at the top of the program today a situation I'm dealing with a relationship that is an ongoing source of hurt and pain, and I'm having to ask the Lord day after day, what does it look like for me to continue to walk in grace and in forgiveness when nothing has changed? It's not to say, for one thing, that the relationship necessarily will be what we wish it was or what it could be if both parties were repentant. We can't force repentance and forgiveness on the part of others. And we may have to choose to keep pouring kindness and grace on a life that is giving us just the opposite back. It's hard. It's not easy. And there are not simple answers to any of that. And I'm realizing that in my own life right now. But I think we can keep pressing into it. And how often does God forgive us? And for how long? And against how many offenses that we don't even recognize we've committed against him? His grace goes on and on and on. You know, Jesus said, the disciple said to Jesus, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? And which they thought was really generous, because the religious leaders of their day said you should forgive three times. So seven was a lot. And Jesus said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven, which of course doesn't mean, you know, count them off and you get to 491 and no more forgiveness. I think his point there was, you can stop forgiving others when I stop forgiving you. And that will never happen. And so it's a day in and day out choice to humble ourselves, to put ourselves at his mercy, and then to extend mercy and grace to others. Now, by the same token, I think it's important to say that does not mean that we ignore the sin, or that we enable it, or that a wife in a harmful situation would keep herself or her children in a place where there could be physical or bodily harm done. God has given means of appeal, civil authorities, church authorities, local pastor and elders of the local church. And I remember a wife, I'm close friends with a wife whose husband was not only had an affair, but was continuing in it. And she walked that very difficult line over a period of a couple of years of extending forgiveness while still saying your sin is not okay and you cannot have your girlfriend and continue to pretend like you're my husband. Now, she didn't pursue divorce. God, in her case, convicted her that was not an option. But she did say, you can't be living with her and living with me. So she extended grace. She was willing to forgive. She did forgive. She wasn't a debt collector, but she also involved church authorities. She didn't make it easy for him to keep sinning, not because she hated him or was sinfully angry, but because she wanted to see him restored to God. And in time, God did restore that man's heart and bring him back, and is giving them a sweet marriage today. And I'm convinced that marriage would not be in place today, and those kids' hearts would not be with the Lord, if there had not been a wife who was willing to pursue God for that very difficult balance of extending forgiveness while at the same time speaking the truth and saying, you know, the truth matters, and we're not going to let that be sacrificed.
Well, coming back in just a moment, we'll continue our discussion with Nancy Lee DeMoss. You hear on Revive Our Hearts Daily here on Faith Radio. And we'll talk a little bit about the issue of what about the person who says, I just can't forgive myself? We'll get to that and your calls as well at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. To Connecting Faith. Today our focus is on forgiveness. It's a Monday, Thursday, Holy Week, important theme, and not just for today, but for a daily life. Choosing Forgiveness is the book we're referencing, the subtitle Your Journey to Freedom, written by Nancy Lee DeMoss. She's written a number of books, including Lies Women Believe, One of her latest was Choosing Gratitude, another one I'd highly recommend. And Nancy's with us today, and I hope that you'll stay tuned for her broadcast here in just about 45 minutes or so. But, Nancy, I do want to talk about forgiving ourselves, but let's take a call from Tara first, who's been listening in on Faith 1090 and wants to talk about holding grudges. Go ahead, Tara. You're on, Nancy.
Yes. My question is, I have some in-laws, my husband's family. I've been born again, and I know I'm saved, and my husband is also. But I have a really hard time with his family because I don't think they are. And they, a lot of times when I will say something, they'll mock me. And I guess I have a really hard time with I don't know. I hold grudges against them with different things that they've wronged me with, and now that I've come to Jesus and you know express my faith to them, they mock me quite a bit, and so I'm just not real sure how to handle that.
You know what, Terry? You just described what Jesus said would happen when you came to faith. Now, you may not have known that when you came to faith, but Jesus said, men will not speak well of you. They will mock you as they mocked him. And I would encourage you to, and he said, this is the amazing thing, blessed are you when men persecute you, speak against you, speak evil against you, speak falsely against you for your faith in Christ. Now, that doesn't seem to be like a great blessing, but in Jesus, you know, upside down kingdom, the right way up kingdom, that actually is a blessing. And he talks in 1 Peter about why it is a blessing when we are persecuted for Christ's sake. Not an easy thing. It's hard. But when you are mocked for your faith, you are actually having the privilege of walking in the steps of Jesus, who was mocked and mistreated and falsely accused and just... boy, if you want to get perspective on that, look at the cross. Turn to the cross. Read the book of 1 Peter. And I encourage this to anybody who's dealing with a situation where you're suffering wrongly. And look at how in every chapter of that book it talks about suffering. And write down everything it says about suffering in that book. Just make a list in 1 Peter, the little book toward the end of the New Testament there. Five chapters. Each chapter talks about suffering. It talks about the reasons, the benefits, the cause of suffering, the response to suffering. But right in the middle, the end of chapter 2 there, it says that our attitude in responding to suffering should be like that of Christ, who was falsely accused, but he did not retaliate. He did not exact vengeance. He suffered quietly and meekly and humbly, knowing that in due time, God would vindicate the truth. And God will vindicate the truth. And remember, you know, Christ suffered for us because he had compassion on us. And when unbelievers mistreat us, that's cause to have compassion because they're acting like people who don't know Jesus. And so Peter says in 1 Peter, don't be surprised when this happens. It will happen. In fact, if there's not some sort of, you know, suffering taking place because we're Christians, it probably ought to make us wonder if there's something wrong or if our faith isn't showing very much. So, you know, I don't know if that's encouraging or not, except to say that Jesus said to expect it. Don't be surprised by it. And then he gives us the ways to respond in such a way that ultimately we may become an instrument of healing and blessing and help. What if God wants to use your humble suffering to be a means of bringing your in-laws to personal faith in Christ? You'd be willing to endure that for Jesus' sake and to think the suffering has purpose. It's not meaningless. And remember, ultimately, it's not you that they are speaking against. It's Christ. So Christ is suffering with you in that suffering. And that ought to encourage you and give you the perseverance to press on. And I know we got a lot of people having family time over this, you know, Easter weekend with some difficult relatives. What Terry just shared, maybe he had you call because there are others who are facing that same thing this weekend. And it's not easy, but God can give grace and can bring beauty out of what seems like such a horrific situation.
The good news is that, of course, God is a God of compassion. He suffers alongside us, not just distant.
Right.
Nancy, say a word about the person who says, you know, I can't forgive myself.
Well, I've heard that. We hear it a lot. And I think when people say that, probably what they mean is I've committed some sin that I and others consider really awful. I hear this said by women who've had an abortion, for example, somebody who's committed a moral sin and is broken over it, but feels so guilty and unable to get free from the weight of that sin. And so the way sometimes they express that is, I can't forgive myself. Really, there's no indication in Scripture that we're supposed to be concerned about forgiving ourselves. And the reason being that God has forgiven us through Christ. Christ paid the penalty for our sin. He paid the price for it at Calvary. And so the question isn't really, can or should I forgive myself? The question is, has God forgiven me? And if he has, which he says he has, if we've placed our faith in Christ, then the question is, why am I not receiving God's love and God's forgiveness and God's grace for me? Am I a greater, standard, a higher standard than God's? Has God forgiven something that I say is unforgivable? And it takes the willingness to humble myself and to say, every sin is an infinite affront against an infinitely holy God. But God has had infinite mercy on me through Christ my Lord. And because he has forgiven me, I receive that forgiveness by faith. Not because I feel it, but try thanking him for his grace, thanking him for his forgiveness, and ask God for the grace to live in that forgiveness. And I think you'll find that maybe the question isn't, kind of dissipates, that it's really not an issue of forgiving ourselves, but of receiving the grace and mercy that God has extended toward us.
Do we know when we've completed the process, or is it an ongoing process?
Well, that's a good question, because you hear a lot of talk today, especially in like major wrongs that have been committed, and I hear people say, I'm working toward forgiveness, or I've been with this counselor for 6 years, and we're moving toward forgiveness. There is a process involved, clearly, of dealing with the hurts and the pain. But I maintain, and I think the Scripture does too, that forgiveness itself can happen in a point of time, in a moment. It can happen before we close this interview. Somebody can, in their heart, say, Lord, I choose to forgive. That doesn't mean all the hard feelings go away, or the pain, or the relationships, magically restored. But there's a point of forgiveness, a choice to forgive, that then is followed by a process of healing and restoration and healing of those hurt emotions. And the problem is, if we say I'm working toward forgiveness and we stay in that process, we may never get to the point of forgiveness. So I believe forgiveness is the starting place that then puts us in a process of healing and restoration, not the other way around. And I think that's important to say, because a modern therapy has often taken it the other way around. You work through this great long process, and maybe someday you can get to the place of forgiveness. My guess is you'll never get to the place of forgiveness. That's the place to start, and then to watch God work it out in the warp and woof of your emotions and the relationship that's been hurt.
We only have just 90 seconds or so left, but I guess that place of forgiveness this weekend certainly should come as we review the cross once again, right?
I'm sitting here looking at a quote in my book from Oswald Chambers, who says this. He said, it is shallow nonsense to say that God forgives us because he is love. The love of God means Calvary, nothing less. The love of God is spelt on the cross and nowhere else. The only ground on which God can forgive me is the cross of my Lord. And oh, how we thank the Lord for that cross, for his willingness to die in our place. It's become more precious to me just talking about it with you, Neil, today. And that there's no forgiveness possible apart from the cross. And that cross is no trifling matter. And so let's not diminish the power and the wonder and the beauty of that cross, by refusing to forgive others. But let's let God's forgiveness of us expressed on that cross become a forgiveness that flows through us to others as we extend to others the forgiveness that we have received so freely and so abundantly from Him.
Good words, as always, from Nancy Lee DeMoss. So appreciate her heart and her challenge to our hearts. You hear her daily on the broadcast, Revive Our Hearts, and a ministry calling us to be all that God wants us to be, to experience the fullness of Christ and see God ignite true revival in the hearts of His people. You hear Nancy afternoons at 1:30. Hope you're listening today. The book we've been referencing is called Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. And Nancy, God bless you. Thank you so much for encouraging us today and for challenging us and reminding us again of what Christ has done for us.
Well, thank you, Neil. And so grateful for the ministry of Faith 900 there and all that you're doing to serve Him there in the Minneapolis area.
Nancy DeMoss joining us today on Connecting Faith. I wish you a wonderful weekend as we celebrate Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And let it be a time of true reflection again of the great gift that we've been given through Christ. And we'll see you on Monday. This is Connecting Faith on the Faith Radio Network.